It's good to be back tonight. And what a wonderful service we had last night. The Lord met in a mighty way. And if I'm not personally rejoicing at the time, it still blesses my heart when I can witness and feel others that are rejoicing around me. I enjoyed it all. And Sister Gregory, I enjoyed yours especially because she's a laugher when she rejoices. I am too. Can't help it. We can't help it, can we? I was rejoicing. And I guess it's how it should be. I don't know. It just came over me, and I wasn't expecting it at all at Lafayette a couple of months ago, maybe 6 weeks. And like I said, when I rejoice, I laugh, and it's just how it comes. Sit back down with my grandson. He says, "Papa, what's so funny?" I says, "I'm just happy. I'm just happy. Couldn't be any happier than I am." Isn't it wonderful to feel the presence of God? And people say you can't know there's a God. People say that you can't know and comprehend. Well, I've got this word that tells me you can know. I've got this word of God that tells me how to get to that place that you can know. But I tell you how I know. I know because He lives right here in my heart. That's how I know. Evidently, all they've got is what they've read. But the Lord has put that sweet peace in my heart. He dwells here. I love that last song we sung. Horatio Spafford was his name. And I told him, one of the churches I was pastoring, that's maybe my favorite song. They said, "Brother, you've got 30 favorite songs." And when I read the story of him, it meant so much more to me. And I don't know if you know the story or not. Maybe most of you do. Maybe a few of you don't. But when you read these old, sing these old songs and you know what's behind them, it just really magnifies what it means. He was living in Chicago with his family. He had several daughters and he had a young son. He was a man of great real estate holdings. He was a man of wealth, but yet he was a man of God. Well, his four-year-old son died of a sickness. Chicago Fire destroyed all of his holdings that he had in the world. And he told his wife to take their daughters to England, and he was going to meet them there later. And while they were on their way to England, the ship sank and killed all of his daughters. And he got a message from his wife and said, "They're all lost but me." He got on a ship and he was crossing over the Atlantic Ocean, and he told the captain, he says, "Get me up when you get to the place that that ship sank." And when he got there, he came to him and he went up on the deck. And he wrote that song. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, it's something to rejoice when things are going well, but it's altogether different when we're rejoicing when things are just falling down around us. And I tell you what, it means 1,000 times more to me to see someone that is such agony of pain and lost a loved one and hurt so badly, but yet they're praising their Lord. You can do that because we have His presence in our life. It's just good to be here. See, there you go. There you go. I'm sorry. Whoa. Turn to Proverbs in the first chapter. 22nd verse. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of God. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. It says in the first verse that I read in your hearing there, they're called the simple ones. Who are the simple ones? The world thinks we are. The world thinks we are the simple ones. The world thinks we are the ignorant ones. The world thinks that there is something bad wrong with us. Because we say, as I said earlier, that you can know that you are a child of God. That you can rejoice in His Spirit. That you can know that you have a time and a place where Lord has spoke peace to your soul. They think we are the simple ones, but the Word of God says they are. Amen. Alf Cook, I don't know, very few of you may have ever heard him. If you were my age or older, you may have. I heard him preach at Antioch a time or two. He couldn't speak plain, but he was a great man of God, and he did everything he could with the abilities that he had. And I heard him preach out there at Antioch, and I didn't understand much of what he said, but it touched me. You don't have to hear a thing till your heart can be touched. He was in a store one time, and man says, "What are you?" He says, "I'm a preacher." He says, "Well, I don't believe in God." He says, "I read about you the other day in the Bible. You're in there." He says, "What do you mean?" It says in there, "A fool says in his heart, there is no God." Amen. And you, sir, are a fool. May not like the word fool, but our Lord used it. Paul used it. He didn't mince words. He told it like it was. And brothers and sisters, we need again to tell it like it is. Now, scorners. They hate God. They scorn at God. Gosh, just to turn on the news today or someone talking, how they scorn our Lord. go in the workplace and see how he fares there, cursing him on every side, laughing and mocking at God's people. I was working at a plant many, many years ago before I went out on the mission field in Hartsville, and there was a lady there at her station, and she got happy, and she is rejoicing. I knew what it was about. I knew what was going on in her heart. They were laughing at her. They were making fun of her. I went and shook her hand. They started mocking our Lord, and they've never stopped. They started laughing at him as soon as he arrived, and it has never stopped until this day. You know the adage, he who laughs last laughs loudest. That's what we want to base your thoughts upon tonight. He who laughs last laughs loudest. We read in the Gospels of our Lord. There's a song. I listen to a temporary gospel sometimes station. It says, Lord, welcome to our world. I'm thinking, what in the world does that song mean? First off, it's not our world, it's the Lord's. And first off, we're welcoming him to this place where he was treated so cruelly and so mean and laughed at and mocked at and scorned by everybody around him. When he was standing before the Sanhedrin there, and they were trying to get something on him, and they had those to lie against him, and nothing worked. And they said, are you the Son of God? And he looked at him and says, I am. I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the clouds and coming in the clouds of heaven, sitting on the right hand of God. They says, we need no further witnesses. And they put a bag upon his head, and they hit him there. They laughed at him. They mocked him to shame. They said all manner of evil things about him. A hatred just oozing out of those people at our Lord. What did the Roman soldiers do after they tied him to that post and stripped him of all of his raiment? Can you imagine the crowds looking down upon him, laughing at his nakedness, laughing at him and joking him, making all sorts of fun of him? And then them placing the crown of thorns on his head. Here, look, here's your king, them leading him around. He's hanging there on the cross, them looking up at him. What he saved others, himself he couldn't save. Even both of those that hung with him. The one that got saved and the one that didn't. At first, they both cursed him. They both laughed at him. And they both made fun of him. They said he saved others, but he cannot save himself. How funny that is. They're still laughing at God and our Lord, and they're still laughing at his people. That's okay. It doesn't bother me a bit in the world. Sinner, what would you have done that day? The day that he was crucified, what would you have done? Think in your mind what you would have done that day. Oh, I wouldn't have laughed at him for sure. I wouldn't have spit on him for sure. There's no way I'd have done that. Well, you don't know what you'd have done. You're children of the devil, and you've done the very same thing that they did. They rejected him and said, crucify him. You've rejected him too. If the Lord has dealt with you and drawn you in unto him, and you have rejected that,
you have rejected my Lord. And some of you, no doubt, have rejected him many, many, many times in your even young life. I know what it's like. I went 2 years lost and separated from God. They'd say, David, are you lost? I'd rear back and I'd lie to them. And I'd say, no, I've never felt like I was lost when inside I would just eat up. I was just all to pieces. I want you to know something. You'd have said, crucify him, away with him. That's what you say every time you turn him away. That's what you say every time that you say, I'm not going tonight. You're saying, I don't want him. The disciples came back and says, Lord, what are we going to do? We're going to these places and everybody's not believing. Everybody's not believing. What are we going to do? Maybe they just heard it one time. He says, I tell you what you do. You knock the dust off your shoes and go and forget about them. You say, well, why doesn't God, when he is so terribly taunted and made fun of, openly ridiculed today, why doesn't the Father just strike them dead? You know what it says he does? He laughs at them. He laughs at them, and it says in the Word of God, because there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Sinner friend, I want you to understand something. There is coming a day. Now, how long, ye simple ones, will love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. He made a promise. If you'll turn to me, if you'll seek me out, I'll pour my spirit out upon you. And I tell you what, there were cups that run over last night. There were cups all over this place just spilling out. Yeah, they were. Because I have called and ye refused. That's exactly what I was talking about, sinner. It's talking about you. I have called you and ye have refused. How else could you interpret that any other way or to anyone else? Sinner friend, it's talking directly to you. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and won none of my reproof. You think you know better. You think you're, I don't know. Devil say, wait till tomorrow. He never did try to convince me never to seek the Lord. He always said tomorrow. And tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow is always another day. I got tired of waiting on tomorrow. I decided I wasn't going to get saved tomorrow. I decided that tomorrow may never come. It says today is the day of salvation, and you don't have the promise of another sinner. You may be standing before the Lord before the sun comes up. You're lifting up your eyes in hell. Now, the Lord shall laugh because he sees the day of coming. Why should he be upset? He's in total and full control. He's in ultimately and completely in final control, and he knows it. We wouldn't get near as upset with others either if we know that we're in control, would we? Now, says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And I want you to get a little taste of what judgment's going to be like. Because you're going to have to experience that. I want to give you a little taste of what a God is going to be like. I want you to understand something. Today, God is a God of mercy, and I will preach that. I know He's a God of love. I know He's a God of kindness. I know He's a God of long suffering, or He wouldn't have let you hang around as long as He has. Don't take advantage of God because He's been so merciful. I will take an exception to this. There was a man got out of the Civil War down in Trailsa County. He was a hardened soldier. He says, I don't believe in God. And there's a thunderstorm going on. He says, I don't believe in God, and I'll show you there's no God. And he went out in his yard and looked up and he cursed God. God struck him down immediately, knocked him plumb out of his boots. God can do that. And God can take you out of this world at any moment. If He told them to knock the dust off their feet for letting them hear it once, and you've heard it 100 and hundreds of times, why, He could any moment and be justified in it. But I want you to understand something. I know He's a God of mercy, but He's a God of all mercy, or He's a God of no mercy. There's no in between. He's either a God of love, or it says He is a man of war, and He will take vengeance upon His enemies. And He will pursue them, as Nahum says. He will pursue them as a dark cloud, and He will overcome them. He will overshadow them, and He will consume them. I want you to understand something. If you're standing before God in the condition that you are in, and you're lost and separated from Him, you're standing before an almighty God, all powerful. There's nothing that He can't do. There's nothing that He's not in control of, with the absence, total absence of mercy. Total absence of mercy. Can you imagine? You know what He's going to do? He's going to throw the book at you. That's what they say when they go in the court. You know what that means? That means the judge is going to execute judgment upon that person to the fullest extent of the law. And He's going to judge you by this book, and He's going to come and find you wanting. Now, it says, surely He scorneth the scorner. What about those crying out from under the altar? Yeah. Lord, how long are we going to have to wait? How long are we going to have to wait to be avenged? How long are we going to have to wait, Lord? I tell you what, every one of them's going to get avenged from God as He deals with their enemies. And they're going to be satisfied. Now, it says in Deuteronomy, talking about His own people, 32nd chapter, for the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants when He seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. He shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hands, for I lift up my hand to heaven and I say, and I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold of judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and reward them that hate me. He says, I will make my arrows drunk with their blood. Vengeance is mine. thus saith the Lord. As he'll say to you, where's your rock now that you trusted in? Where's your God now? Atheist, of which says there is no God.
It says in Isaiah 63, I've trodden the winepress alone, and there is none with me. When he steps over in that winepress, talk about the grapes of wrath. It's a coming. I tell you what, I will not experience a God like that. I never will. I look forward to his coming. I can't wait for his coming. Even so, as John said, come, Lord Jesus. Come right now. And boy, I'm going to be a shouting. And Sister Gregory, I'm going to be a laughing all the way to heaven. He says, I will laugh and mock when your calamity comes. You're standing before a holy and righteous God, an all-powerful God. Can you imagine? And you're just standing there. And he's laughing and mocking you. I'd like to go to the Psalms in the second chapter. Second chapter in the fourth verse. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. As you're standing there trying to explain yourself, begging for mercy, of which there is absolutely none at that time, he says he will have them in derision. You know what that means? You can't even speak. You're trying to, but it's unintelligible. Hey, everything you say is just, it's just not coming out. Kind of like our president. And I don't want to offend anyone here. But it is kind of like that. You're trying to blubber out something. You're trying to blubber out something and ask for forgiveness. And he's laughing and mocking you. It says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. Oh, my. Oh, what a horrible thing that is. Do you understand the wrath of God? It says he has wrath reserved for each and every one of us. And sinner friend, he's got wrath just for you. Not talking about the whole world now. We're talking about just for you. And he's reserved that wrath. And unless you make peace with God and Jesus Christ has taken your sins away, that wrath of God is going to be poured out on you. And you deserve every bit of it. He is a righteous God. He is a just God. And his judgment is true. And his judgment is perfect. And vex them in his sore displeasure. In Job 22 and 19, it says on that great day of judgment, on the right side, or is she? I want to be right over here. Right over here, right in the middle of them. You're going to be over here. No offense, Brother Gregory, not you. You're going to be over here. Well, what's the ones over here going to be doing? It says in Job 22 and 19, the innocent laugh, the wicked to scorn. Not only is God going to be laughing at you, all of his children, the lambs of God, are also going to be laughing at you. Just like the multitudes laughed at our Lord, there's going to be multitudes over here. There's going to be our God right here, and we're all going to be laughing at you.
I don't care if it's your mama. I don't care if it's your daddy. Either way, they're going to be laughing at you. Because they are serving an all-righteous God. And they know that His judgment is true. And upright, they're not going to be begging for you on that day, sinner friend. You are on your own. You're all by yourself. It also says, when the wicked perish, I know I'm not God. I'm not God. I don't have the heart that He has. But when I hear people mocking my Lord today, I'm thinking, you've got a day coming, sir. Maybe I should. Maybe I know I need to be praying for them. But I'm thinking, oh boy, you just wait and see. Your days are coming. And sinner friend, I want you to understand something. Your day is a coming. If he mocks and laughs you to scorn, and you're standing there and can't even talk, can't even speak. He'll say, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Away with them. No mercy, no grace, no love. A God of justice. A God of power. It says I believe it's John, fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can cast both soul and body into hell. You know what that means? The cast means? That means to violently fling. To violently fling. Fling. He's going to laugh at you. He's going to mock you. And then he's going to take you and say, depart from me, ye that work of iniquity, I never knew you. And they're going to be violently flung into the pit of hell. That's as plain as I know how to put it, sinner. But it's not as bad as it's going to be. I can't make it as bad for you as it's going to be. I can't explain it to you as bad for you as it's going to be. Let's have a song. You need to seek the Lord. You need to seek the Lord till you find Him. You need to call upon the Lord with all your heart. You need to call upon the Lord with everything, every bone, muscle, sinew in your body. It's time you surrender to a holy and righteous God. Let's stand and sing.